Greetings from Bethany United Church of Christ here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and welcome to this virtual worship service. I have with me up here by the pulpit a little lamb that made it into my office back in the beginning of Lent. He has been under quarantine all this time, and I thought, this being Good Shepherd Sunday, I would allow him to be here with me and with you, listening or watching from home. Those of you who have real pets at home know about the joy and the love that these creatures of God provide. I have a dear friend and his wife who recently had to say goodbye to their beloved dog, Sadie, who they are missing very, very much, especially in these days of staying at home. In these days of distancing and the reports of suffering and loss, there are amazing reports of recovery and homecoming. One of these stories is a soldier and dad of three adorable blonde girls who is home this weekend after his last deployment to Afghanistan, having been there since last fall. Of course, a drive-by of cheers and appreciation by family and friends in Northampton, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Bethany members, for your donations to help with the ongoings of the church. Thank you for your donations to help with the lunches that are prepared and handed out to our homeless in the area out of Christ UCC on weekends. Thank you to all who continue to fight this battle of COVID-19 on the front lines of the medical effort and the many in serving positions. I want to thank tonight or today, whenever you are able to tune in, to our worship team, Susan and Rebecca and Adrian, Bill and Jean. These services, both the audio and the Facebook live stream, are now available on the website, uccbethany.org. Feel free to share with your family and friends, people you know. And now, let us come to God as we worship together. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Join me now for the responsive call to worship. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall want for nothing. He makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside the water of peace. He renews life within us and for his name's sake guides us in the right paths and is present when we are fearful. Let us worship God, our shepherd. Amen. We sing our first hymn, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And now we come to a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, some verses that perhaps you learned as a child, and I invite you to say these words with me, the ones provided in the bulletin, or perhaps the ones in your heart and mind. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in bright paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The epistle lesson for this Sunday is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, and now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And the Holy Gospel for this day is John 10, verses 1 through 10. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Very truly I tell you, said Jesus, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here's a true story that my little lamb here loves. Earlier last month, April 6th, thereabouts, in some parks and farms and yards of the UK, British sheep have been experiencing a new sense of freedom. Even as parks and open spaces are shut down due to coronavirus and people are secluded in their homes, sheep have taken to roaming about these newly open spaces. But rather than wandering aimlessly through the fields, it seems sheep have been seeking out children's playgrounds and have begun, wait for it, to play. It appears their favorite activity is to take turns riding the roundabout. In playing on a roundabout, a group of children typically sits on the base while others spin the wheel. After a while, others get to sit on the base while still others do the spinning. Well, it appears sheep are smarter than we thought. For on a 40-acre farm park, a flock of sheep were spotted pushing each other on the play area roundabout 2 days in a row. After that, other sheep too were seen playing on a playground roundabout in two other places. Oh, how you and I, how we yearn for those opportunities to play and to get together. And so, how was that? That was a great story. I knew you'd love it, and you did. When Jesus called himself the Great Shepherd, there was no doubt in anybody's mind that Jesus was making a messianic claim. He was making a comparison between himself and God. Those who heard Jesus' words would recall the prophecy of Isaiah 40, verse 11, where there is an even more apparent parallel between Jesus and the promised one to come, the Messiah. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. How familiar are those words, for we hear them, you and I, every Advent and Christmas season, when joyful voices are raised in Handel's magnificent Messiah, the contralto aria of which goes, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young." And then it continues with the words that send a thrill up and down our spines by the soprano, "Come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." William Barclay, in his commentary on these words, reminded us that in Greek there are two words for good. There is the one word agathos, from which we get the girl's name Agatha. Agathos describes the moral quality of a thing. And then there is the Greek word telos, which means not only a thing or a person is good, that a thing or a person is good, but that there is in that goodness also a quality of attractiveness and winsomeness and loveliness. Unfortunately, some goodness is not at all attractive. Mark Twain once said of someone, "He's a good man in the worst sense of the word." From his Scots background, William Barclay said, "In many villages or towns in Scotland, people speak of someone as the good doctor. When they speak that way, they are not necessarily praising the doctor's efficiency or skill as a physician, but are thinking more of the kindness and sympathy and graciousness which the good doctor employs." In the picture of Jesus that St. John paints in his gospel, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one who is innately winsome and immensely attractive. When you and I, when we drive along our highways, we may come upon billboards which shout out a warning of some kind, something like, "Prepare to meet thy God," as though meeting God would be a terrible calamity, something to be avoided at all costs. But what if God is like Jesus? What if God really is the good shepherd who loves us even more when we love ourselves and desires to care for us in kind and gentle ways? My friends, let's take a few minutes to think of the possibilities such a picture of God might present. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me," said Jesus in John 10. He says that he knows all of his sheep by name. What a wonderful word for those of us who live in such an impersonal age. Sometimes we begin to feel as though we are merely numbers on somebody's gigantic computer. But Jesus says that he knows all of us, each of us, by name. There's an old story of a census taker, and we're in those days now, aren't we, with the census, who was making his rounds in the Lower East Side of New York, who interviewed a particular Irish woman bending over her wash tub. "Lady," he said, "I'm taking the census. What's your name and how many children have you?" She replied, "Well, let me see. My name is Mary, and then there's Marcia and Dougie and Amy and Patrick and Never mind the names, he broke in. Just give me the numbers. She straightened up, hands on her hips, and with a twinkle in her eye, said, I'll have you know, sir, we ain't got number in them yet. We ain't run out of names. The image of God as the Good Shepherd tells us that's the way it is with God. He knows each of us, each one, by name. That's one reason why we promise the child's name clearly when we pledge that name when a child is baptized. The Good Shepherd cares for all of his sheep, but not just some of them, and not for some of them more than others of them. Remember that Jesus was talking to a people who had come to think of themselves as God's pets. So he said to them these shocking words, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. In this context, Jesus was probably referring to the Gentiles who had not yet heard the good news of the gospel. At the time of the writing of the fourth gospel, the good news was just beginning to spread out into the Greco-Roman world as the disciples, some of whom would never even think of entering the home of a Gentile, were beginning to realize that the good news which Jesus came to bring was for every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball. Those words from the great hymn, all have the power of Jesus' name. Well, down through the centuries, one of the hardest things that God has had to deal with in us is the sin of exclusivity. God enters into a relationship with persons, and then almost immediately those persons try to put a fence around God and say, private property off limits to outsiders. They may pray something like this, God bless me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four and no more. Or, God bless only me, that's as far as I can see. Or a people gets into its head the notion that it alone is privileged by God. After all, don't our coins say, in God we trust? How strange that we should put that inscription on our money. Which God are we talking about? Once we have come to believe that God is the personal property of our people or our country, then it becomes very difficult for God to get into our heads that God cares for those folks over there just as much as God cares for us folks here. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is precisely the opposite of exclusivity. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, not my Father, and that our includes not just one race or nation, one religion or denomination, but all everywhere. The Good Shepherd cares for his sheep and for all of his sheep equally. The Good Shepherd promises to keep his sheep, to keep his sheep. That doesn't mean that they will never encounter any problems. It does mean that they never need face problems alone. The 23rd Psalm that we all know and love does not promise us that we will never go through the valley of the shadow, but it does promise us that none need make that journey alone. Faith is not a means of evading or avoiding the difficult times of our lives. What Shakespeare called the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. They come to all people. Faith is rather a means of facing those things, those times head on, and winning victory over them because we do not face them alone. The Good Shepherd goes after his sheep when they get lost. And sometimes we get lost, don't we? Even in our own homes right now. This is the new and shocking dimension of God's love which Jesus came to bring and died to prove. When Jesus was criticized for hobnobbing with the wrong kinds of people, he replied to his critics, which one of you having 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? Years ago, someone suggested that this was really the only new thing that Jesus taught. the only thing that had not already been said by the rabbis before him. But it is the most important thing, isn't it? In Jesus, we see a God who does not simply write off his losses, but goes out to seek and to save the least, the last, and the lost. In the 19th century, a mystical poet named Francis Thompson, whose life had become a shambles until he was finally reduced to living off the income of prostitutes to support his drug habit, wrote a poem called The Hound of Heaven. The poem was about God and God's unremitting love. Everyone else had written Francis Thompson off, everyone but God. In the depths of his darkness and despair, God, whose love will never let us go, God met him and touched his life. And out of that experience, he wrote his famous poem about this God whose love will never let us go, the God who is out on every highway where people get themselves lost, seeking to bring them back home. God is not seeking to inhibit our lives, but to inhabit them, so that we might have true life, eternal and everlasting life, life abundant. A mother of 8 children was once asked if she had any favorites. She had 8 kids. Favorites? She replied, "Yes, I have favorites. I love the one who is sick until he is well again. I love the one who is in trouble until he is safe again. And I love the one who is farthest away until she comes home." Jesus said, this is what God is like. God is a divine parent whose love never stops, a parent whose love will never give up. You and I may stop loving God, but God will never stop loving us. We may run away from God. We may find that our legs are too short. We can't get away from God. And that is not a threat, but a promise. God is out on every road where people like sheep get themselves lost, earnestly and tenderly, seeking them and calling them back home. Does that mean ultimately that God will get all of us? I have no special inside information on the subject, but I certainly hope so. I wouldn't be the least offended if God did get us all eventually, would you? Jesus says that God is a good shepherd who seeks after the sheep until he finds them. I wonder, how long is until? I have a hunch that God never gives up on any of us, you or me. I'm not sure at all that all of us will respond to God's love, but I believe that God's love is always an open option for any of us. The older version of the Apostles' Creed insists that he, Jesus, descended into hell. Why? Over the centuries, most Christians have believed that Jesus descended into hell to bring back those who had never had the chance to hear the good news and respond to it. It sounds like something that the Good Shepherd would do. Will God ultimately get all of us then? I have no idea. I hope so. But I insist on holding in creative tension 2 ideas. God never gives up on any one of us, and God never takes away from us the freedom to say no. So who needs a shepherd? We do. I do. Cows do not need a keeper in the fields. They can pretty much take care of themselves. Even the pig, who has enjoyed a much less favorable press, is able to take care of himself. But sheep require a shepherd. I'm told that without a shepherd, they will sometimes walk right off a cliff while grazing. The symbol of the shepherd is the shepherd's crook. There's one here in this picture with Jesus, which is used to reach out and rescue the sheep from their own stupidity. So who will rescue us from ours? You and I, we have a shepherd. We have the good shepherd, the best of all. And what proof did he offer to justify such an extravagant claim? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Can you see how everything gets turned upside down in the gospel story? For in ancient times, shepherds rounded up their sheep and offer them to be sacrificed on altars to appease the wrath of an angry God. But in the Gospels, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life to show us the sheer grace of a loving God. That is awesome and not a little frightening. To be the object of such fantastic, limitless love. The fact that we so easily take it for granted shows how much we have missed the marvel of its meaning. The novels of Graham Greene sometimes mirror the human situation in a way that startles us. In his gripping story, The Heart of the Matter, he writes of an English police chief in an African colony, a frustrated man whose foolish involvement with corruption, bribery, adultery, and murder brings him to the brink of suicide. Before taking his own life, he goes into this particular church, more in defiance than in penitence, and there at the altar he confronts the crucifix and encounters this one who clings to him even in the midst of his shame and despair, and who simply will not let him go. The love of God bursts upon him with overwhelming force and transforms his life forever. I close with this great verse of an old gospel song. I couldn't find the title of it, but I came across this verse. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. I am the Good Shepherd, said Jesus. He is out there on all the roads where people like you and me get ourselves lost, gently calling our names, each one. Let us pray. Oh, we like sheep need a shepherd. We wander and we get lost. So God, lead us out of the darkness and fear of this time into pastures of healing and light. We thank you, Lord Christ, for being the Good Shepherd and for the laying down of your life so that we might live. Keep us safe in the fold of our homes until we can gather as your flock, calling each of us by name. Let all the people say, amen. At this time, in deep appreciation and thanksgiving of the offerings that you have sent in or dropped by, some of you are starting to get a little crazy at home and thinking, I gotta get out. Oh, I can bring my offering to the church and ring the bell. And so some folks are starting to show up, and I'm getting to greet them a little bit from a distance on Mondays and Tuesdays. So it's appropriate that we at this time in our worship, as we do normally on Sunday mornings, with the dedication of our offerings. And so let us pray. Gracious God, giver of all good things, we are mindful of the many blessings you provide, even life itself. We ask your blessing on all offerings received in support of Bethany Church, and we ask your special blessing on all the amazing gifts that are given to the many needs of this health crisis for your people near and far. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I invite us to a time of prayer. I will share the prayer petitions that we've been sharing. They continue. We should continue to pray for these, and then there'll be a period of silent prayer, and then I'll lead you through the pastoral prayer. We remember in these moments and in all moments of prayer for all suffering with the COVID-19 virus here and around the world, for all who have lost loved ones, some 58,000 plus, for all on the front lines of battling this disease, particularly in nursing homes, the staff and the residents, for all families who cannot be with their loved ones, for the millions of unemployed folks and for small businesses in these days, for the effort in providing what is needed for hospitals, for the thousands who suffer loss from the recent horrific tornadoes and storms. For our governing officials, that they may be given wisdom and guidance in hard decisions. For our churches and for our Bethany family, particularly those whom we pray, Bob Otter, Lillian Connors, Dorothy Kramer, Louise Snyder, Harold Moore, Carol Haynes, Dolly Ackerman, Joyce Hammer, Joyce Berge, Kenneth and Joan Mathias, Marie Wolfe and her son Dennis, Gerald Smith and his wife Arlene, and a new one here, Barbara Sigafoos, who will be coming part of our Bethany family. She's a homebound person. Let us pray silently at this time. Pray. Holy and caring God, shepherd and protector of our souls, we pray for a new seriousness about the ways of your kingdom. We need to see our work as something which is done to your greater glory. When we feel that we have suffered an injustice, we need to have the mind of Christ and be patient instead of striking back. Instead of regarding the turning of the other cheek as a joke, we must see this as a principle for a higher level of human conduct. We thank you, O God, for the sufferings of your Jesus, who bore our sins and their consequences in his own body. Train us to regard our own sufferings as invitations to commune with Christ and to appreciate the beauty and the depth of his love. Forgive us for making light of what Christ has done by speaking superficially about crosses we have to bear. Lead us to acknowledge that many of our troubles are self-inflicted and deserved, and in no way are to be compared with the experiences of Christ. We need you, O God, as our shepherd, because we go astray and get lost. Although we are much more intelligent than sheep, we can be just as lacking in good judgment. We need you as our protector, because life has so many pitfalls, and we are prone to tumble into every one of them. Fill our needs, protect us from harm, guide us into the right paths. Because so much of the trouble in our world has come about because people are like sheep having no shepherd, we pray for all humankind, whether or not they acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Use us to represent him more fully in the work that we do for peace and justice. Give us a much more expansive view on how far our church can reach out in its ministries, believing that all things are possible in Christ. Convince us that there is still healing to be found in the name of Jesus. When human solutions seem to be failing, turn our trust to that power that has never been known to fail for those who live by faith and find in him their hope. Through the same Jesus, who taught his disciples and us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now I invite you to sing with us In Heavenly Love Abiding, the hymn provided with the bulletin. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.